Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word, for your word is true. And we pray tonight by the mystery and the in working and the boldness of your Holy Spirit, we pray that this word for us, for each of us, however we came and wherever our thoughts and our deep mind are right now, we pray that your word would be a fire to us, would be a hammer, would be the sweet oil of blessing. Life is not life unless it be life out of death. So we pray, Lord, that you will bring to death those things in our lives that are not part of your vision for us, and that you would lift us, Lord, to a deeper communion, to a dwelling with you and you with us, that we might indeed, Lord, turn from wandering, turn from a life of going toward you to go to a life to you, and that we might walk through the door and be with you for eternity tonight. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I noticed when I read the bulletin tonight that my name was here as the preacher, and so I haven't had much time to prepare. It's probably not going to work. The other day, about a week ago or so, I was having a wonderful morning. I got a phone call from Bishop Lawrence. I just walked into a liquor store, and I was there to buy a bottle of wine for my daughter and my son-in-law. And what was on my mind, he asked me to preach, what was on my mind truly was these words that very simply all I want us to do tonight, I certainly want to serve as Mater D and help welcome us into some of the most stunning, unbelievable, somewhat cryptic words, at least for me, from John 10. If you're like me, when you hear 10th chapter of John's Gospel, I mean, kind of your default setting is you say, well, it's a Good Shepherd chapter, you know. And at least for me, and this may not be true for you, but I have been sort of seeing this image that Jesus gives us, a third of the I Am sayings, where he says, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. He who enters by me, better put, if you enter by me, you shall find salvation, and you shall go in and out, shall find freedom and security, you shall find the delight of pasture. And there's an incredible, brilliant richness here that has just been mesmerizing for me, working in my heart, and I must confess, I've never really stopped and dealt with these words. They've seen the door, I've never seen a stained glass window. I've seen a lot of good shepherds, but not many doors in the stained glass windows. And for some of us, it may well be that that image has been kind of an inert image, or one unvisited, or one in which our imaginations, by the power of the Holy Spirit, need to become unwithered. And to be able to stand there as we are tonight, which I want us to do, to invite us to do, to come into this feast, and stand there tonight, brothers and sisters, we have no mission. We have no making biblical Anglicans for a global age. We have no good shepherd, my friends, until we come through that door. The one door, the only door. And to hear those words spoken to us again, to give us clarity and to give us pasture and to give us hope and to call us again into that intimate dwelling that he offers for us, which takes us directly to the cross. Listen, my friends, tonight, if you've never dealt with this verse, it seems to be a way station on the way to the Good Shepherd. But I just want to say to you that those words, and let them be before you tonight. I am the door. I am your door, Jesus says to you, says to me. He's been speaking to me the last several days. I've been helped with this by some words that Leslie Newbigin wrote, because I've never really understood the image very well. And he said, the door is a universally evocative symbol. It is the way of access from one world to another. Therefore, the way, the reality of that other world invades it, our world is through that door. And so this door that Jesus is speaking of, as he begins to sort of inflame our imaginations as we stand in one world, desperately aching and bankrupt and hungry to find the doorknob into that other world that we were created for, that our heart beats for. I thought about, as maybe you would, some words that C.S. Lewis wrote in that marvelous sermon he preached in Oxford, whenever it was. He says, "At present, we're on the outside of the world, the wrong side of the door. We discern the freshness and purity of morning, but they do not make us fresh and pure. We cannot mingle with the splendors we see, but all the leaves of the New Testament are wrestling with the rumor that it will not always be so. Someday, God willing, we shall get in." And when Jesus Christ comes into your life, and there's so many metaphors that Scripture uses, but what he does as through the grace of God gripping our lives, we come through that door. Why would it be any surprise that in the 20th century, even into our own, the words of the Inklings, think about Lewis, how many millions of lives he's touched. When Lucy finally comes out onto the crunch of the snow, having come through the door of the wardrobe, entering into that new world. And I couldn't tell you where it is in Tolkien, because I just can't. But they're just wonderful places all through Tolkien where the orcs are. There's no way they're going to make it. You know, the orcs are there. They're pressing in on them. They've come to the end of the road. The only thing that can happen are the words of Don Moore, and God will make a way if, where there seems to be no way. And all at once, an ancient door opens up in the side of the mountain, and they go through. And knowing Tolkien, that's no accident. Brothers and sisters, this image, this gift for you, this fresh new word that I pray the Holy Spirit would take tonight, is that this is the most important image. Where are you with the door? Jesus says, "I'm the door. I'm the door of the sheep. If you come in, if you come through me, you'll find what that ache is all about. You'll come into that other world. You'll find salvation. You'll find security. And you'll find delight." The first thing I want to say about this door, by inference, that this figure, Jesus calls it a figure of speech in the early part of chapter 10. He says, actually, every human life stands outside this door. When you get born into this world and flung out and you show up in this world, you have what Lewis called the inconsolable longing for what you don't have, to try and find that door. And the people in your family and the people in your friends, and it may well be, brothers and sisters, without embarrassment, it may be some of you are standing outside that door. You've never come in. Didn't know how to come in. You knew right one started on page 323. And you don't wear a lot of polyester, which is very good. To find what you can only have on the other side of the door, by repentance, by little deaths, by surrender. One of my favorite passages is a little earlier in John, where it's the woman at the well. I think it's coming up next Sunday. And I think I'm scheduled to preach, actually, Marcus. That may well be. But I love one of my favorite places, where she, just a train wreck of an emotionally broken life. She's tried everything, all the different relationships, and Jesus looks not into her, but through her, as they're drinking this water from the well. And he says words that ought to be chiseled over the archway of every person's life. Whoever drinks of this water, i.e. worldly well water, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Remember that? But whoever drinks of the water that I will give, that water will well up to eternal life. It'll never quit. It will be there. It will be a spring of living water in your heart. But if you drink of this water, my friends, you know people. You pray for people. It may be that you are one of those people. The greatest tragedy on the other side of East of Eden is that we try and find life without going through the door. I didn't even know what Garden and Gun magazine was. And I picked it up off the coffee table the other day. Like monarch butterflies that show up down in Mexico, and how they all get to the same place. I've never seen in one place more Orvis fly rods, more, more shrimp and grits, more low country living, more land cruisers, more hand forged knives, more beautiful women in black and white photos who look at you in such a way that they want you to think that they don't think they're good looking. And I said to myself, how do you get in? How do you get stained? How do you get inside this magazine? And I said, no, I want to be Garden and Gun. And then the words of Jesus swirl back around. Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. You can't find life outside the door. And so how do we break through? How does God, by his infinite mercy and grace, break through? Well, he simply says to thus people, all of us, whatever it is, college degrees or New Oriental rugs or whatever it is, that we have gone into the import business to try and find healing and significance and rest. He says, I'm the door. There's no life out there. Come to me, and through me, you'll find salvation for your soul. You'll be able to go and come. You'll have freedom and you'll have security. Some people give a little freedom, some people give a little security, but you'll be able to go and come. You get both. And then you get the presence. I love the words, Johannine words, that he may dwell in us. That's my favorite words. And we in him, that we can have communion with him. One seemingly small detail, which is massively important in the seven I am sayings that you find in John, is that the definite article is always used, brothers and sisters. It doesn't say, like somebody I know who says, well, Christ is about resurrection. He is the resurrection. He is the bread of life, right? He's the way. He's the truth. He's the thing not to miss. And so Jesus does not look at this world of people who are lost and say, listen, I'll show you a whole hallway of doors. Doesn't say that. He doesn't say, pick a door. He says, I am the door. He doesn't say, if the image of door doesn't work for you, then just re-envision me. trying to re-envision God is about like my trying to re-envision my wife and get her to fit my re-envisioning of her. No, the Lord Jesus says, I am the door. Come through the one door. And I know you love that passage from Bunyan, from Pilgrim's Progress, where the whole thing starts out and he's lost and he's got this huge, terrible burden of sin and failure and lostness. He doesn't know what his life's about, doesn't know where to go. An evangelist takes him and he says, you got to go right here, go through the gate, go through the wicket gate, go through the door. There's no other gate. And he says, on the other side of that, over a little hill, you'll go through some hard things. But when you get there, you'll see a cross. And you'll get there and you'll come. And you, by coming through that gate, everything that he's ever sought for or longed for in his whole life. You remember that wonderful passage when he gets there and the burden rolls off and falls into the sepulcher. And he laughs and runs and dances. And he's become, life is not life. if it be not life out of death. God is not God if he be not the end of man. Karl Barth. What a wonderful invitation to go to that place where we find the cross. It's the one door where we can become new creation again, where we can start over. Always we begin again to get a new heart. To be just an absolutely dreadful person and to know that he just desires for you to come to him. And so I am the door. Where are you with the door? You know, where are you with the door? It may be some of you, I'm going to conclude here, two things. It may be some of you, and let me tell you, I was one of those people who've been around door talk so long and been around people who talked about what was on the other side of the door so much that you fell in the trap of just thinking by osmosis that you've gone through the door yourself. I think it was Philip Brooks who told that wonderful thing. He said, you know, the conductor, the ticket punch guy on the train between New York and Boston, old guy who'd been calling out the names of those villages for 40 years when the train stopped. In fact, he'd done it so long he had the idea that he'd actually been to those villages, but he never got off the train. They were so familiar. And permit me just to tell you what happened to me. Because it may well be, and maybe this is getting a little bit closer to the bone for you, it may be that some of you are continuing on in a life you never began. Doing Christian things, but you never went through the door. When I was a young priest, I was in the Mississippi Delta, and we had a wonderful lady named Bessie who kept our kids, and she just hated it that I had these prayer books. I mean, she knew that that was from Satan, because she would just say, why do you have to use a book? Can't you just pray? And I couldn't very well. And she kept saying, John, I want you to go to my church. Well, I always had an out. And I would say, Bessie, I'm respectfully employed Sunday mornings. I'd love to go with you, but I just can't go Sunday morning. She said, oh, you don't understand. It's at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And so I went with her, and we came down this Mississippi road and came to this little white church. And I was the only white person in that place. And we came in, I sat on the back row, decided I would audit the course. And as soon as I sat down, the black preacher up here, he looked out and he said, oh, Bessie, who did you bring this afternoon? She said, oh, I brought Pastor Barr with me. And he said, Pastor Barr, what are you doing sitting back there? I want you to come up here. Come up here. And they had stacks of angels and archangels and deacons and elders and, you know, groups of people. And I kind of fit in there, and I thought, well, this is kind of nice, and I can do this. And so it got time for the sermon. And this has no exaggeration in it at all. It's just rank, raw truth. I sat over there, watched a black man with not much education bring forth the springs of the gospel and truth and practical truth from the scriptures and the gospel. And it wasn't anything that he'd used white out on a piece of paper like I did. It was not an essay. It was a living and active word. And not only that, there was something about who he was that from the guts, from the bowels, King James bowels, from the deep places of his life, just ushered up the gospel of God. And he was so delighted. And he didn't have to work hard. He didn't have to. It was flowing through him. He was. And I sat over here, and I was staggered. And I'll never forget, I said to myself, what has to happen to a person to be a person like that? I know Paul Tillich backwards and forwards. I've been to these schools and all this stuff. And I'm not saying it's wrong, but there's something frozen inside. I could not do that. And about that time, he was in the middle of preaching, and he slammed his Bible shut, and he said, "What am I doing? God has sent Brother Barr here to preach." He said, I've been disobedient. And I have to tell you, it was the most shattering moment in my life. Because I got up and I said something cute or funny and whatever it was. I had nothing to say. It was shattering. I'd looked at a man who'd gone through the door. And I said to myself when I got in the car with Bessie and we drove back, silence, stony silence, not a word. She was so sweet. She put her hands on my shoulder. And I said to the Lord, I said, whatever has to happen to me to get me to be able to be a witness for you, for your life to go down deep in those frozen places of resistance in my life, God, please do it. And 3 or 4 weeks later, my wife and I were together at a church, and a group of people prayed for us, and the Holy Spirit came upon us, and the love of God poured down deep into our hearts. Christ became real, and something in me died, and I stepped through a door. And the door was Jesus. And I've just been a bad screw-up in a lot of ways. But I have, my life was changed that day as I walked through that door. Jesus says, "Not. There's a hallway of doors. Go down to Barnes and Noble to the spirituality section." He says, "Come through me." Have you been a person in any way that you've been going toward Jesus, but you didn't go to Jesus? Have you been a person who's been doing a lot of church, but you have never been sure that you've come through? I pray tonight. You know, however the Lord leads you, when you come to communion, I'll pray with you. These wonderful priests will pray for you. It may be that you're a priest. Continuing on in a life we never began. Last thing. Some of you are saying, "Well, John, you know, that's pretty good for unevangelized people, but it's kind of ricocheting off my head. I've come through the door. What's in this for me?" There's one last door. And it's the door that Jesus brings to the people in Laodicea. People who've lost, as Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians, who've lost heart. People who've lost their passion. People where the structure of Christian life and even orthodoxy continues to tool on its own momentum, but the Spirit is not there and Christ is not there. And there's a mediocrity and a lukewarmness, and the joy has evaporated. Does that speak to anybody? Well, I'm telling you what happens. The door gets off its hinge. And you don't come to it. He comes to you and tracks you down like Tommy Lee Jones. And he stands before you and he says, "Listen, behold, hear this. I stand at the door and knock. Whoever hears my voice," see, it's not just knocking. He's beckoning for you. He's speaking your name. Whoever opens up the door. And I know you've come through at one time in your life. But you need to go again. Whoever opens up this door, I will come in and be with him, or be with her. And I'll sit down and eat with you, and you'll eat with me. And you will have gone through the door again. My friends, that's the message tonight that Jesus brings. He says, "I am the door. If anyone comes through me, to me and through me, he will find salvation. Go in and out and find pasture." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I've always kind of been a good shepherd man and not paid a lot of attention to this door stuff. I thank you for the powerful way that you speak to us, that there is a way into the world that we seek, a world of intimacy and delight and fruitfulness and death and resurrection as we come to you, the door. I pray for each person here tonight and for this diocese and for all the ministry on the other side. But Lord, unless we come through the door, forget ministry. Tonight is a personal night to be with you. I pray that you will knock on our door, speak to us, that we may get up and open and step through and be with you for eternity. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.